the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. The sermon, Security in the Born Again Life. Security in the Born Again Life. I don't want you to miss a word. I want you to hear your security in Christ. I want you to know your security in your born again life. Now this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible about our relationship with God, our security in the Lord. I think you'll see that as we move along. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, that would be a great text all by itself. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He is a new creature. He is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things, the former life, has passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. Now listen, this whole life is of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, that's a great passage. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That one passage is big enough to cover this whole sermon, I'm here to tell you. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us. We are he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you get that? I hope you did. If not, I'm going to give it to you one verse at a time. And we're going to look at this great text. And we're going to look at this thought. Security in the born again life. Security in the born again life. This great scripture calls us to a life of protection and powerful living that absolutely cannot be defeated by the devil unless we allow him, unless we give vent to him. Father, help me preach this morning. I got a burden for somebody in this building that needs desperately to repent and get right with God. Father, so many people think I would love to be a Christian, but I don't know that I can live that life. It's too strict for me. It's too straight for me. And they feel almost helpless when they look at the possibility of changing from that old life of sin to that new life of Christ. And Father, they don't understand the beauty of it. And I pray this morning that somebody, if not this morning, then over internet and radio and however, somebody will find this new life and find the security that they are offered in Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, and amen. And you may be seated. Now give me a full attention while I try to lay this life in front of you and the security that we have in Jesus Christ. You cannot fall from this great life unless you choose to turn away. You cannot fall from this great life unless you choose to turn away. Now listen to me. The devil has no power to make you fall unless you choose to let him. The devil has no power to make you fall unless you choose to let him. The biblical security noted in these verses of Scripture is so omnipotent. It is so powerful. It just takes my breath away. I was praying yesterday afternoon. We'd had a kind of a disaster with radio because of internet crashing. And because radio was off in ball games at most quarters. And it was just a discouraging time. And I said, Lord, you got to help me. Lord, you got to help me. So I began to concentrate before God, my mind, to hear what he was saying about the sermon this morning. And when it came to me, it took away all of my gloom. It took away all of my feeling of defeat. It took away all of my feelings of just trouble, of not having accomplished my task. It just gave me a new hope. It gave me joy. And I've shouted ever since he poured this sermon into my heart. The security of a born-again life. The security of a born-again Christian. And I've been saved going on 63 years. If anybody on the face of this earth ought to be able to talk about the security of a Christian life, I think I have a right to. I was born as an alcoholic son. I was born out of thievery and lying and cursing and swearing and dirty, miserable living. I was born out of the very clutches of the devil. I mean, he had his clutches on me. I was under his power. I was going to hell at neck break speed. I was just on my way. And I was having what I thought was a pretty decent time doing it. Found out later it wasn't. But when he saved me, he so totally changed me that there's never been a moment that I didn't want to serve God. Never been a moment that I didn't want to serve God. I am grateful for that. I don't deserve it. But it's really just the picture of the security of a Christian. You don't need your faith propped up with some old crazy doctrine. You don't need your faith hinged on somebody's word that regardless of what you do, you're still okay. You don't need that. You don't need it. Because you've got a God of such sufficiency, and he's made you such a new creature. He's done so much wonderful in you. He's so changed you. He's so turned you upside down. He's so made a new person out of you. Listen to me, my dear friend. Listen to me. You've got a life more beautiful than anything this world's ever heard of, except the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? Am I right or wrong? There's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. It's security. I'm here to tell you, it is security. You've got to say, I'm going back to Egypt before you can backslide. You got to say, I'm going back to the old life before you can backslide. You got to want that stuff out there that you left. And if you don't turn on your own, the devil sure can't make you do it. There's so many promises in the Bible. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the very desires of your heart. That's what he said. Delight thyself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of my heart. He said that he will supply all of your needs. He makes it very plain that there's nothing formed against you that can prosper. No weapon, he said, that's formed against you can succeed. You're just something special. Did you know that? You're just somebody special. Are you understanding me? You've been born again. You are saved by the blood. You've been made a new creature. You've been made a new creation. You are somebody special. And God takes note of you. He's made you part of his family. He's birthed you into the family of God. You've got a citizenship no longer here, but your citizenship's up there. I mean, you have got so many things on your favor and in your behalf and so many things for your benefit that you've really got life by the tail. You've really got life by his whole clutches. The devil is a defeated foe before you. You can say to the devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me alone. And if you get there properly by submitting yourself to God, he don't have any choice. People talk about how big the devil is and how mighty the devil is and the multiplied of angels that he's got that have fallen into his clutches and do his bidding. And here you are, one little saint of God. Hallelujah. I was sitting in my chair last night as the enemy was coming against me, and something said, go get your 38. The first thing I thought was, I don't need no 38. I got angels all around me. Hallelujah. I got angels all around me. I got God, and I got his grace, and I got his protection. And I didn't go get no 38. I got one. I know how to use it too, you know. And if somebody broke in my house and about to harm my little wife, I'm telling you right now, it'd be Katie barred the door. You know, I just believe we serve a big God, and he'll take care of us. And I'm happy to be a Christian, and I feel like I want to shout and run and jump up and down and do a little bit of all of that this morning, because I've got security. I've got protection. I've got somebody taking care of me. I got the grace of God overshadowing me. I got angels in charge of me. I got the Father on his throne. I got Jesus at his right hand. Wow, I got enough to keep me. Why should I be afraid? And why do I need some false hope? Hallelujah. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Somebody shout hallelujah. Sylvia, would you shout over there a little bit, hallelujah, and say a big hallelujah? Oh, praise the name of the Lord. We've got such hope. We've got such assurance. We've got such blessedness. I'm just glad I'm saved. You know what I'd do if I weren't saved? I'd get in this altar right now and get saved. Hallelujah. I know that. I would, brother. I know it. Praise God for being saved. Now, let's take these. Let's go back to verse 17. And all, listen to me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you getting that? What could I say more powerful than that? You're not the same old Marlon Clark you used to be, buddy. You don't have any semblance of what you used to be. He made a new creature out of you. If you're saved, he made a new creature out of you. If you haven't been made a new creature, then you're not saved. If you've been made a new creature, you're a new creature. You are a new creation. He changed you from that old man of sin you was and made a new man of righteousness out of you. He made a new person out of you. I don't think anything could be more exciting than knowing I am a new creature in Christ. And not only am I a new creature in Christ, but all of those old things have passed away. They left me. They departed from me. They took a trip out the back door. They are gone. They have no part of me any longer. I am a new creature in Christ. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I've been made brand new. I'm just like God could have made me in fact, like he did make us in the beginning. The old sin nature has been defeated, and I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I belong to him. Somebody get excited about that, will you? Are you a new creature in Christ? Have you been made a brand new person? Has the old things of the former life passed away and they're gone, gone, gone? Where are they at? In the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me again. I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. I'm saved by the blood. I'm a new creation, and all that former life is gone. Oh God. If I would dare, I can't do it. I would never do it. But if I would dare tell you some of the old jokes that used to be in my vocabulary, if I would tell you some of those old stories that those workers that my daddy had hired on the farm to work out there in the tobacco fields and to teach me their junk, bring their old nasty stuff that they read to me and put it in my hands as some little kid. Man, I remember all of that stuff. I can remember it. You can, but God don't remember it. That's what's good. It's amazing. All my sins I remember, but none of my sins that God remember. Now that is a big thing, that I can remember my sins and God can't. Hallelujah. You say, why can't God remember them? Because he throwed them behind his back. He cast them into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He removed them far from me as the east is from the west. And that's quite a few thousand miles. I want to tell you, you are a new creature. I am a new creature. That old life is gone. It's buried. He made a new creature out of me. I've been a new creature over 62 years. I wouldn't trade it for being Rockefeller's adopted son. I wouldn't trade it for nothing this world offers. It's a grand life. We are new creatures in Christ. Now, if you're a new creature in Christ, what in the world could make you think that the devil has power to take you out of this? Oh, no. You say, well, but I sin more or less every day. Well, then get saved and you'll quit sinning more or less every day. I mean, get right with God. Let him make a new creature out of you. Didn't he say old things have passed away? If he said old things have passed away, what does that mean? What does it mean? Old things have passed away. That's all you can say. The only thing you can say for this Bible is either right or it's wrong. And it's right. And the Bible said he made a new creature out of you. And he said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I like that, don't you? All things are become new. I'm so glad you don't know me like I was in sin. I'm so glad you've never had to deal with the Joe Chambers. I heard somebody say the other day, I'm glad I didn't know you when you was in sin. I don't mind that. Because I feel the same way about them. I just didn't say it. You know, who wants to know people when they're in their sins and in their wickedness? You know what they are. You know the misery of that life. But all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. I'm talking about a brand new creature that God has birthed into the family of God, whom God has washed with his blood, whom God has renewed by the power of his Holy Spirit, which God has taken and wrote in his book of life up in heaven, has made me a new citizen of a new country on my way to a new hope and a new destination. Listen to me. We are new creatures in Christ. He's made a new creature out of you. That's why you don't need a prop to hold you up. You are a new creature. Now you know what I'm talking about when I say a prop to hold you up. This doctrine of unconditional eternal security, it's actually stupid, if I might say so. It is ridiculous. It's nothing but a fallacy of the devil. Why would anybody in the Bible want to come up with such a doctrine when we're talking about new creatures in Christ that have been turned around, have been turned upside down, have been made new? Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. They are now new people, completely, utterly, totally. I don't need no prop. I got the ultimate. I got him. Hallelujah. Oh, great. Hey, I love him this morning. I love him. I love him. That one verse is really enough to convince you, you don't need to be propped up. You've been made a new creature. How many of you can say, I'm saved by the blood? Raise your hand. I'm saved by the blood. How many of you need some kind of doctrine that you can go out and commit fornication and still be saved? How many need that kind of a doctrine? Why would you ever need that kind of a doctrine? That you go out and lie and cheat and steal and still be saved? Why would you need that? Unless you haven't been made a new creature. See, what you got to understand is, listen to me, the doctrine of unconditional eternal security was created for religious people that have never been born again so the preachers could keep them paying their tithes and coming to church. That's the only purpose in that crazy doctrine. It has no relevance to a new creature who's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and has been made a new person. Brother Johnson, I just believe it with all of my heart. Hallelujah. I just believe it with all of my heart. I don't want to make anybody angry. There are people out there who believe in eternal security who've been saved and who live right. And I say to them often, hey, if you're saved and you live right, then why do you need that doctrine? And they look at me and say, well, I don't guess I do. But those people who can't overcome sin, they need it. Well, why do they need it? When they could come and get saved and God would clean them up and make new creatures out of them. Am I making sense to you? I'm not just trying to preach about that crazy doctrine of unconditional eternal security, but I want to show you the difference. I want to show you what you got. Often they will say, well, you know what you people are. You live by works. I don't live by works. I live by the righteousness that comes from Calvary. I'm only saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'm only saved by a sanctifying grace that enables me every day to rise above the old world and the life of sin and to walk straight and near the way. And if I do fail, if I do make a mistake, I run to Calvary and he forgives me. Hallelujah. What a God. All right. You got that first verse. You got it down good. Listen now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, the next verse. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the next verse says, everything now in your life belongs to God. He has reconciled you to himself. He's brought you out of the bondage to sin and made you a servant of his love and of his grace. And now he's in charge of your life. Now he is the master of your life. Now he is your constant companion and your keeper. He is the one who loves you and cares about you and watches over you. Hallelujah. Do you know, for 62 years, I can't even get close to sin. If there's something that's wrong, something that's a sin, and I get within 2 feet of it, I begin to feel like a dog. And I begin to tremble. I can remember time after time in my early Christian life when the devil would tempt me and I would start trembling all over. Just plain trembling. Why was you trembling? Because he who is in charge of my life, he that's made a new creature out of me, he that now owns me, to whom I am now responsible, to whom I now have complete allegiance, to whom now I serve with all my heart, it is me he keeps, it is my life he preserves, and he won't let the devil get close enough to steal me. He blocks the enemy, he makes me tremble all over, and I turn and run. Because the keeper is keeping my soul. The keeper is keeping my soul. The keeper is in charge of me. He's overwhelmed with his love for me. Hallelujah. And so all things belong to God. Everything I am belongs to God. Oh, it does. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. That's what the Bible says. I may believe the Bible says you're bought with a price. Well, if you're bought with a price, you don't belong to you no longer. Hallelujah. That's what being born again is. Being born again is you no longer belong to you. You belong to him. And I want you to know he will not let anybody touch you without him first making manifest his glorious victory. Hallelujah. God is such a good God. I can look at every time I've ever been through a trial and been through a hard place, and I've been under so many bridges. People say to me, would you not like to be young again? I said, no, I wouldn't want to be young again. All those bridges I came under, I don't want to come under them again. Hallelujah, because he gave me victory every time. He'd do it again if he needed to. But if I can go on from here there without going back there, it suits me better. Hallelujah. He's my keeper. God is my keeper. Hallelujah. All things now belong to God. First, he made a new creature out of me. Bought me. Paid for me. I belong to him. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to this world either. I don't belong to this world system. Why, Brother Chambers, when all the preachers across America are changing in so many ways, they're compromising. Why aren't you compromising? Because I don't belong to the world. They may belong to the world. If they're listening to it, it's a good sign they do. But I don't belong to this world. I belong to the God of eternity, the creator of all things. I belong to he who rules this universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's in charge of the whole thing. He holds it up by his mighty power. He keeps the sun in its orbit. He keeps the moon doing its business. He keeps the seasons coming and going. He keeps everything in his protective care. I belong to him. I'm his. Is, and he watches over me. Why would I need some old crazy doctrine when I got the King of Kings watching over little old Joseph Chambers? Here I am, just a little. Sometimes I tell people I got a peanut brain. What? Sometimes I feel that way. I'm not the smartest guy that's showed up. I know that. I've got a few intelligence, but not a whole lot. But I got a God who's got them all. He owns everything. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That means he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Now, what in the world can whip that? What can whip a God that's all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful? No way. He knows everything. He knows all about you. He knows your thinking from afar off. You're laying in the bed, and the old devil's trying to put some crazy thoughts in your head, and God's watching over you, and he sees what the enemy's trying to do, and he's just waiting for the right moment to slip right in and make a fool out of the devil and let you know he is the victor. Hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and praise him with me, will you? If you're being kept by the power of God, and the Bible says that, would you raise your hand and thank you for keeping you? Thank you. Come on, raise your hand. Where are you at? Raise your hand and thank him for keeping you. Thank him for watching over you. Thank him in the dark night that he's somewhere close by, just looking. Let's go to the next verse. Trying to get them all. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and has not imputed their trespasses unto them. Now, listen to me. You got to understand this. Not only are all things God, but every trespass that's ever been manifest since I was born, a little boy, baby boy, Joe Chambers, every one of them has been removed, counseled. He has not imputed them to me. Notice that. He has not imputed my trespasses to me. That's what happens the moment you get saved. You come to God. He looks at you. He sees all of your dirtiness. He sees all of your sinful living. He sees everything you've done. He sees everywhere you've been you shouldn't have been. He knows every old ugly thing you've said with your conversation, your words. He knows all about you. But the moment he sees you and you come to him, he doesn't look at you and say, now listen, I know what your sins are. I know all the things you've done. I know every sin you've committed. I know every transgression that you have ever been part of. And I'm going to keep it right here in my files and in my book. And I'm imputing your sins to your record. No, he don't say that. He says, I'm opening the box and I'm taking out everything that you've ever done. Everything that's ever happened to you, every transgression that you've ever done, I'm going to empty the box. Now you can start all over with a clean life. Hallelujah. Now you can start all over with a clean life. Everything's gone.
There's something in here. Let me get that out. No, nothing in here.
Nothing in here. The whole record is clean. My sins are gone. My sins have been removed from me. My sins are no longer there. God looks at them, and I may say, God, do you remember those things I did? Oh, he says, well, all I see is an empty box. Hallelujah. All I see is an empty book. All I know is I didn't impute your sins unto you. I rather counseled your sins from you. Oh, Brother Chambers, I can't live right. I mean, you can't start off with a brand new box and you can't live right. Come on. You know better. That's why he gives you a new box. See, with a new box, you've never cussed. You've never committed fornication. You've never transgressed. You don't know how to lie. You don't know how to cheat and do all these ugly things because God has removed them from your box. And you're starting all over. Brand new, and you're a new creature. He's made you part of his family. You're saved by the blood. Your sins are gone. You're now holy and pure before God. There's no recollection in God's mind of all those sins. Are you listening to me? And you need to be propped up? Come on. You don't need to be propped up. All you need to do is be good and sanctified. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Allen, is this all right? Hallelujah. How do you believe in his biblical eternal security? Hallelujah. I got eternal security because he's cleaned up my record. I got eternal security because he's canceled all my sins. I got eternal security because he saved me by the blood and made a new creature out of me. I got eternal security because he watches over me. And if I even get close to sin, he shakes me until I rattle. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. We have grace that is bigger than all the possessions of hell and the devil and all of his imps. They are helpless. Would you put that back together for me? Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. I want you to know something this morning. He has not imputed your sins unto you. Rather, he has counseled them from you. That is the most beautiful truth. I got to go to the next verse, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now listen, let's look at one word, ambassador. Say that with me. What? You mean God has so made a new person out of you that he's called you into his service, and now you represent him everywhere you go as one of his ambassadors? Do you know what that means? That means you're now a citizen of heaven. There's a book up there in the Father's possession called the Book of Life. And I'm looking, and let me look down through it. Let me come down to the seas. Marlon Clark. Wow, isn't that something? Let's come down a little further to the F's. Yvette Floris. Is that not awesome? A few months ago, it wasn't there. But it's there. You ought to be a happy soul. You are a happy soul. Look at her face shine. Look at her face shine. Hallelujah. Dylan, I don't know anything bad about you, but I have the feeling you was probably a little pissed some years ago. Am I right, Daddy? And Mama's not going to say a word. She's going to defend him. I know I'm in some kind of trouble. But if he's a normal boy, he was a pest. At least to his sister. She shook her head. I got it. Now, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we are now citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. And all of that's over. All of that's gone. All of that's done with. I don't belong to the Chambers clan down in the Bush of Falk community. My family is pretty well background family. My brother that committed suicide was a multimillionaire. I don't know one of them that don't have more money than they got sense. That's the honest truth. Every one of my family members has more money than they got sense. Absolutely. Except me. Everything we've got, Mama and I, we don't even have a savings account. It's all, look around. When you look, you see it all over this place. And we've loved every minute of it. Radio broadcasting now, internet broadcasting, you know, getting this gospel out. Hallelujah. I got treasures, but they're over where my citizenship is. See, one of the problems with this world is we got a lot of Christians who are citizens over there, but all their treasures are down here. That's a foolish way to live. How would you ever want to live with your citizenship over there and your treasures are down here? I guarantee you, we've got people in this church that have got hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings account, and they've got it. They've got their treasure. Oh, it may rain, Brother Chambers. I may get crippled, Brother Chambers. Well, with that kind of thinking, you probably will. Why don't you just become a citizen of heaven and give him your treasures? Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach. Treasures over where my citizenship is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that point. Didn't plan it exactly like that, but it sure did come out good for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I love him. My citizenship's over there. I'm an ambassador. Praise God. When I speak for heaven. When I preach for the Lord, brother. Brother Dylan, you know you're my friend. Thank you for letting me use you. It was all right, wasn't it? All right, good. I'm glad. after the matter. Listen, church, we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Now, why would I need to be propped up when I'm a citizen of heaven? What do I need now? Can you imagine? I'm getting meddling. We got a president. Now, if you don't agree with this, you just forget I said it. And he'll go over to China and all these places, and he makes like that he's more a part of them than he is us. Every time he meets one of those Arab leaders, he bows his head to them. Almost, what's wrong with this man? Is he ashamed to be a citizen of the United States of America? I think he is. I think that's his basic problem. He's really not happy to be a citizen here. He wants to be a citizen of the world. Well, I'm okay to be a citizen of the world, but I'm first a citizen of America. Well, let's go a little spiritually deeper now. I'm a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. There's a great big mansion in that city called New Jerusalem, and it's got my name on it. Hallelujah. It's got my name on it. I've done my best to earn my mansion in the city of New Jerusalem, and I think it's already there, Sister Chambers, and got my name on it. You know, I'm kind of a wild man. How many knew that? Stop it. Listen, I've been praying, God, you let Paul come up there and see that place. Would you let me come up there and see it so I could come back down here and tell everybody about it? I don't tell me what you're thinking, please. But I thought how wonderful that would be. Wouldn't that be something grand? So good to have you this morning, my dear neighbor. Yeah, it would be something grand to go up there and come back and tell y'all how that city looks. Oh, can you imagine gold so brilliant that human eyes could not look at it? It blinds you. Those streets are paved with that. Oh, I'm a citizen of that wonderful place. I'm a citizen of that wonderful place. And I got to close. I'm at the end of my time. I want you to hear this point. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that verse of scripture ought to be fixed on your mind, and you ought to never forget it. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we who knew sin might now be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you get that explanation? He, that's Christ, who... The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. The sermon, Security...